Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. My peace, he says, I give unto you, not as the world giveth, but I give. And I don't know about you, beloved, but I can remember the time when that peace came to me. And I can remember the time when I didn't have that peace, and that in my soul was like the restless sea, and it was churning up dirt and mire day and night, day and night. But when God, our Savior, appeared to man, teaching us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust, and living righteous in this world, the peace of God, when I saw Jesus, my Redeemer, the one that suffered in that holy body for my cruel sins and iniquities, then peace like a river could come and flow in my soul, and I could sing how sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ear. It soothes his sorrows and heals his wounds and drives away his fear. And surely, beloved, it's a great calm and a great peace when we can trust in Jesus, believing that he has put away our sins, and that he was that Holy One of Israel, that little babe that was born of the Virgin Mary, conceived by the Holy Ghost, and grew up as a young man. At 12 years old, he reasoned with all the doctors in the temple. He went into the temple, the great high priest of the Gentile church and the Jewish church as well, and yet he could not go into the sanctuary because he was not of the tribe of Levi. He could not go in the sanctuary and offer up sacrifices like the Levites could, for he was of the tribe of Judah. But he passed into the sanctuary in the heavens, of which that was only a type there in the temple and in the tabernacle. That was just the type of the pattern that was in heaven when it was given to Moses. And when our true Lamb of God, Jesus, who taketh away the sin of the world, when he comes, when he passed into the heavens, he offered, brought that sacrifice and blood before his Father that satisfied his justice and his holiness. And now he is making intercession for those who have fled to Jesus for refuge and laid hold of that hope that is set before them. And so Jesus then is the anchor of our soul. He is our hope and the anchor of our soul, which is both sure and steadfast, and hath entered into the veil, within the veil. And so all of those things were just types and shadows, and the wonderful gospel. Isaiah saw the true meaning of those things by the Spirit of God and was revealed unto him. And the Apostle Paul says, even nowadays, says, what knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man that's in him? And no man knoweth the things of God, save the Spirit of God. And he said, we have not received the spirit of the world, but we have received the Spirit of God, that we may know the things that are given to us freely of God. And he says, a spiritual man judgeth all things, and yet he is judged of no man. And we have the mind of Christ. And the Spirit of God has revealed these things unto us. They are taught in the heart by God. And though the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, and he cannot receive them because they are spiritually discerned, the Scripture says. But Christ, then he says, but we have received the things of the Spirit of God, and he hath revealed them unto us. And so then the spiritual man can discern the things of God. He can receive the things of God. And he can judge the natural man because he also is a natural man and has been a natural man. But he also is a spiritual man, and he can judge the things of the Spirit of God because he has received the Spirit of God. He has been taught in the heart of God. And great is the peace of thy children, Isaiah said, when the Holy One of Israel, thy Redeemer, who is thy Maker and thy husband, when he comes in the flesh and puts away your sins and your iniquities, he said he'll be despised and he'll be rejected, And when we see him, he will not have any comeliness that we might desire him. There was nothing evidently real special about him. He looked just like an ordinary Jew. And he just looked like the son of Joseph. And his brethren and sisters, are they not all with us? The unanointed eye in that day when they saw him, they saw nothing special in him. But he was smitten of God. And he was... He did prosper. His days did prosper in his hand. He raised them from the dead, and there shall be no ending. I believe it says here in this chapter, here it says, "For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it to bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I send it. For ye shall go out with joy, and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands." And beloved, can't you remember the day when you trusted in Christ, when you saw your sins put away? Then all the hills seemed to clap their hands, and the birds had a new song, and everything was new to you. Those days of condemnation and judgment that you were aware when you were under the judgments of God in your life, it was just a life of sin, and you knew that you could not be received by God in such a state as that. But then when this news, this gospel came that your sins had been put away, that Jesus, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, had suffered in your room instead, and then peace, like a river, began to flow, and the hills seemed to clap their hands and to dance in your very presence. Everything took on a new meaning because that you saw your Creator, your Maker, and your Husband had become your Redeemer, and your Lamb, your sacrifice, had put away your sins. And so as the rain cometh down from heaven and tenderizes the earth, and the plants are made to bud, and the seed that we might have, the seed might have seed, the sower might have seed to sow, and we might have bread to eat in the day when we reap. So shall my word, he said, go forth out of my mouth, and shall prosper into that thing whereunto I send it. When he speaks, beloved, there is results. The hour is come, and there is, he said, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. He said, "Murmur not among yourselves, for all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and all that comes to me I will in no wise cast out." He was the captain of our salvation and the perfect example of our faith. He trusted in his God and was satisfied that his God would bring about the redemption that he came to work out on behalf of his bride. And so the psalmist said, "He hath sent redemption unto his people. Holy and reverend is his name." He didn't offer redemption, but he sent redemption. And he did not offer salvation, but he brought salvation. And he bringeth it with him. He is our salvation. He is our Redeemer. And he is not wants to be our Redeemer, and will be if you will let him, but he is thy Holy One of Israel. He is thy Redeemer. He is the same one that is your Maker and is your Husband, is also thy Redeemer. And so, beloved, what wonderful grace and mercy it is that the soul can fly to Jesus for refuge and lay hold of that hope that is set before us. And so for Jesus' sake, it says, in Christ Jesus, it is not only given unto you to believe on his name, but to suffer for him, for his sake also. And so the Lord's people are an afflicted and poor people here, tossed in tempest for a little while here in this world, because we're pilgrims and strangers in the land of the enemy. And they have no mercy. They have no love for the Holy One of Israel and his dear children, and especially those that would exalt his name and would worship and praise him. And so, as the Lord told the first woman, which was no doubt a type of the bride of Christ, she was a bride of Adam, and in his side, when the Lord made Adam, she was there, right there with him, wasn't she? Because he took a rib out of Adam's side and created Eve. And so we are said to be chosen in Christ from the foundation of the world. But when Adam and Eve passed into death and were separated from their God, death is a separation. I heard a little panel on the news, on the TV not long ago, and I was astounded at they said that God reneged on his threat of death. Said he told Adam and Eve that when they sinned that they would die, but said they did not die. And said they died, they didn't die that day. They died later, but they didn't die that day. So God, he said, one of them even said that God lied. I mean, that's what kind of, I mean, it's appalling to think of the arrogance of the human heart. Oh, the deceit. Who can know it? The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And I would have left to ask them, did not the Apostle Paul say, ye who were dead in trespasses and sins hath he quickened? And just when did they die? He said, he wrote to the Ephesian church and the Colossian church and said that ye were dead in trespasses and sin, and God hath quickened you. Well, when did they die? They were corporeally, they were alive right there. They were not dead. They were living people he was talking to, but there was a sense in which they were dead. They were dead in trespasses and sins. And just when did they die? That day, that very day that Adam and Eve sinned, they did die. They died in trespasses and sins that day. And here was a great scholars of the Bible telling everybody about the Bible and denying that they died, said they didn't die. And all they could say was that of which the carnal man always sees is just the human nature of man. And so, beloved, how great and marvelous is our Lord. He's able to come right into the heart and teach his people the truth and give it to them and seal it to them to where it's theirs. And it's yours, beloved. When the Lord gives it to you, it's yours. And no man and no devil can take it away from you. Aren't we thankful for that? And aren't we thankful for his church and a country that we can assemble in and not have the building burnt down from around us while we worship our God in truth and in spirit? Oh, how merciful is our God, and how fortunate and blessed a people we are. May God add his blessings to his church and bless us to be faithful to his word and to one another and to love one another and to act like the prince, the children of the Prince of Peace. Let peace reign as far, be at peace with every man as far as possible. Some men just won't let you be at peace with them, but especially among the brethren. We publish the doors of the church open. If there's one or more here today that's not obeyed the ordinance of their Lord and their God, their Maker and their Redeemer, but left to be baptized, we'll give you that privilege while we're assembled together. What shall we sing, brethren? Page 73. Go ahead and lead us in that, if you will, brother Keith.
Great is the charming sound, harmonious to the ear, and with
the way to save me. Amen.